Lord Jesus, we praise you. We praise you that you chose to give up all that you had the entitlement to in heaven, the joy of heaven, as that song calls it. And you stepped down into our world. And you stepped down into our world because of your heart was breaking for us. And you chose to allow your heart to be broken on the cross. And Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you have a great purpose for our lives. Thank you that you long to bring us into your kingdom and to enjoy that joy which you have had since the beginning of time. Lord Jesus, please lead us into a closer walk with you. Please speak to us even now through your word. And as we, later on in our time together, join together in communion, please touch us deeply in our hearts as we meet at the foot of the cross, and as we say thank you again for the cross, and as we say thank you for pouring out your blood, and as we say, please fill me by your Spirit to help me to live. So Lord Jesus, please come, and we invite you. You don't need any invitation, but out of politeness, we invite you to come and to speak and to touch us this morning. Amen. Amen. Please take a seat. Those who've been with us over the 3 years when we've been dipping into Acts, but certainly since Easter, we've been following the final journeys of Paul in bringing the gospel to Rome. Well, it was really God who took the gospel to Rome, and Paul kind of was a passenger and was willing and was brought along in God's purposes. But I chose a passage this morning from the middle of Acts to try to present a very brief summary of the message of Acts as a whole. Now, please don't expect a full-blown sermon this morning. It's a kind of a post-holiday sermonette, if you like. But it's quite an ambitious project in a sermonette to present the full to the summary of Acts as a whole. If you had a brainstorm on some themes in Acts, you might come up with a long list like this. I'm not going to read it out. You can spot one or two of them as your eye casts down. There's so much in Acts. It covers a period of almost 30 years of how Jesus continued his work in the life of the church. So I don't know, has anyone come across a Bible in 50 words? Bible in 50 words, you come across that? Never heard of it? I might do that sometime. The Bible in 50 words comes up with four words to describe the whole of this period. It's not on the screen. Where is it? It's down here. Spirit-flamed, word spread. Spirit-flamed, word spread. There we go. That's Acts in a nutshell. God's Spirit came upon his people and the word spread to the ends of the earth. So I take that as my inspiration to be brief this morning. I've got four themes, and I think that they're all reflected both in the passage that we read out and in Acts as a whole. So look back at the passage, if you've got it in front of you. It's page 1104. If you recall, this is Peter's kind of light bulb moment. Look at verse 34. Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. And how does he know that God does not show favoritism? Well, by the end of the event, verse 44, I don't think we read verse 44. While Peter was still speaking those words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The Holy Spirit comes. In fact, the Holy Spirit comes in power three times in the book of Acts. Firstly, on the Jewish church at Pentecost in chapter 2. Secondly, in chapter 8, through Peter and John, on the church in Samaria. And then once again here, through Peter, on the Gentile Cornelius. God doesn't show favoritism to Jews, to Samaritans, to Gentiles. All are equal before God. I've called the first point God's grace to all. God's grace to all. Verse 34, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. This is so fundamental in our faith, isn't it? God's grace to all, including me, including us. But he's not our God alone. He isn't Western. Shock. Verse 36. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. We have a wonderful message of grace. Jesus is Lord of all. That message of grace is for all people. I just want us to relish that again today. Just God's love. God's love towards people like you and people like me. Why should he love me? Why should he love you? Why should his message of grace come to West Dean and to Brighton? How on earth did it come all the way here? Well, I think that's part B of God's grace to all in Acts, because we see all the way through this period of history that it's God who is making sure that the message of his grace gets spread to everybody. We've just seen the gospel come eventually to Rome through Paul in a long and tortured manner. Well, he was the one that was tortured mainly. This was always God's purpose. Even through the twists and turns of time and of circumstance, this was always what God was doing. Chapter 1, verse 8. From Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth to Gentile people like us. God's grace to all, even people like us. Through the twists and turns of history, God has enabled the good news of his salvation to come to people like you and people like me. Some people had to travel to the UK to hear it. Now, who could believe that that was possible? That people would come traveling to this country and go away back to China with the gospel in their heart and in their pocket to take to their families and to take to their friends. God's grace to all. This is something that he enables to happen. Paul had to trust in God for this. He had to keep going each day, whatever it brought, knowing that God's purposes were still alive in him. Sometimes we're not really sure what's going on in our lives. We need that same trust. God's grace to me, not only in bringing me to faith, but in sustaining my life and linking it in with his purposes. He is in control. It's easy to say, I trust in God, when things are going great, because it's just a theory then, really. We learn what this is really about when we need to trust in him. God's grace. Well, secondly, Paul doesn't take long before he gets to Jesus. In his conversation here with these people at Cornelius' house, he's saying, these things you're hearing, they're about Jesus, who is Lord of all. So my second point is the focus is on Jesus. All the way through the book of Acts, the focus is on Jesus. The gospel is all about him. Now, I'm not going to illustrate with passages from all over Acts that prove it. I might as well read you the whole book. But let's see how Peter does it. Verse 36, you know the message God sent to the people of Israel. And it's telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. Verse 37, you know what is happening all around you these days. It started back in Jerusalem. How Jesus was around and he was teaching and he was anointed with power, doing good, verse 38. And then all that happened to him, they killed him, hanging him on a tree. But God raised him from the dead and provided witnesses. And verse 43, all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. All the prophets, not just all these events that are going on in that time, that period of history, but the whole of history has been pointing forwards to Jesus Christ. He is the focus of God on earth for us. There's no mistaking that the message of God, of the whole Bible, as spoken about by the early church, was the message of Jesus. It's not about Judaism or religion or spiritism or politics or philosophy or anything. But from Pentecost, when Peter preached, to Paul chained to a guard in Rome, Jesus is preached as Christ, the Lord of all. I wonder how often we describe our faith in terms of Jesus, in terms of our relationship with Jesus. I wonder how often we actually get to describe our faith to somebody who's not a Christian. It's a challenge, isn't it? I can't remember, I'm trying to think back over the last month, whether I've spoken to a non-Christian about Jesus. It's interesting, isn't it? How much time do we actually spend talking about Jesus to other people? Well, he is the word in Acts, and it's this word that spreads from Jews to Greeks to Gentiles to Romans. He is the focus. I wonder if he's the focus of your life still. However many years you've been a Christian, is he the focus of your life and of your faith? Thirdly, this didn't just happen. This is the story of Jesus and the church. The Holy Spirit empowered church. It's the story of how the Holy Spirit empowered individuals. All that's accomplished is due to God's direct involvement by his Holy Spirit in transforming scared, self-centered, insecure people into outgoing, courageous men and women of faith. And in the book of Acts, all ministries are affirmed. There's the preacher, there's the one-to-one evangelist, there's the person who serves at tables, there's the person who disciples a new believer, there's someone who makes clothes for the poor, there are men and women. This is the church, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, growing and serving. The Holy Spirit, I think, does three things. He brings life to the individual. And in Acts, he authenticates that the gospel is true in each new region they go to. So three times we hear of the Holy Spirit coming in power, and he empowers the witness of the apostles. Jesus had promised that this would happen. He promised that they would receive new power, and this was their experience at Pentecost. And with the coming of the Holy Spirit, a weak and faltering group is transformed into a close-knit community and into a powerful force for mission. I wonder if that's us here. Are we a close-knit community who are studying the Word and who are growing as Christians as they did, the fellowship described in Acts chapter 2, who are meeting together regularly and who are being sent out with good news? Do you sometimes feel you don't have the strength? Just for daily living. Do you sometimes feel you don't have the power that you need for the troubles or the difficulties or for the decisions or for the people in your life that you so long to help? Do you sometimes feel you don't have the strength or the patience or the ability to deal with these things? Well, you have the power of the Holy Spirit too, if you're a Christian. You live in the power of the Holy Spirit too. The story of Acts is a story of how ordinary people are touched by God and who are changed by God, and they're given strength by God, and they're given things to do by God. And quite a lot of the time they run away from the things that they should be doing until God guides them back on track. Do you know what you should be doing? Well, you have the Holy Spirit as your strength and as your life as well. I wonder what challenges lie ahead of us in the next few weeks, the next season. We don't really quite know. School will be starting up again soon. We do have the delight, I don't know if it's been said yet up front, but we've offered someone a job to come and join with us here in helping work with children and families. His name's Gareth. I think he said yes. I hope he's said yes. But we've still got the paperwork to sort out. And Gareth's going to come and be part of our fellowship here, and I think you'll love him. I love him. And so I'm really looking forward to working with him. So just hope that he comes. What's that going to bring someone who's got a bit of energy who wants to help with our work with the families. We got our fantastic Chinese brothers and sisters here with us, and they were here the Sunday before I left as well. I wonder if you spoke to them then. If you didn't, do speak to them today. I think both of you were converted here. Certainly one of you was converted here, weren't you? You came to this country and you met Jesus here. I think the other came from a Christian family but has been involved in the Chinese community here. And they're just here for a very short time. Them and others who are part of their fellowship, they're just here for 3 years. Sometimes God sends people to us. We have the chance to work with them. Sometimes we need to go out and we need to be bold and think about who we're going to tell about Jesus to. We don't know what the future holds. There might be difficulties at home. There might be challenges. There might be big changes ahead for you in the next period. You're filled with the Spirit. Hopefully you're focused on Jesus. They were sustained in their community. They had a strong biblical community when they met together in Jerusalem. And in the different towns in Ephesus and in Corinth, we saw the church being established under the word of God. Communities that were bringing transformation and communities that were motivated for mission. They were outward focused. Well, we, the church today, we're also called to mission in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit. God's grace to all, his mission and heart, the focus on Jesus, the empowering of the Spirit. I think I said four. Let's just end with a final point. God's sovereign purposes. We've mentioned this already, but there's so much hostility, so much opposition. But every place that the good news of Jesus came to, it was good news. It brought transformation to communities. And Luke is sharing that through the book, from Jerusalem to Rome. And God is still doing what he's always done. And he's exhorting the church to get involved in this task of living with him and for him and taking the good news. It's a great challenge. Sometimes it's just enough to survive another week. We have him with us in all that we're doing. I hope that this will be of great encouragement to you in this week ahead. And also perhaps as a focus for us as we think about what it is that we're called to do as a church in this season ahead. Let me pray. Father God, I want to thank you for your mission focus. Because if you weren't concerned for people like me, then you wouldn't have poured out your love in Jesus. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for your grace. And thank you so much for Jesus. For all that he went through, for all that he did, that we can look back to. And we can understand and know and talk about and tell other people about. And Lord, above all, we thank you that you have not left us alone. You've given us your powerful Holy Spirit to help us to walk with you each day, to help us to understand your word, to give us assurance that you are with us and to give us strength for the things ahead. And Lord, I pray for everyone here that we would receive the strength that we need for the challenges that are ahead of each of us. Help us to keep calling on you and asking for your powerful help through your Spirit. And Lord, sometimes we don't know what's happening. Help us to keep trusting that you are in charge. Amen.